Hi, welcome to Daily Bread with Jam, a podcast by the Holy Spirit You Channel. I'm Michelle. We are a Whosoever Will podcast and a Whosoever Will channel. We are continuing in the series, It's Time to Pivot from Cursing into Blessing. It's time to pivot out of, to springboard out of cursing into blessing. And we can only do that, not only, but we have to understand the principles of God as we do that. So the pivot should already be in progress. What I'm doing is continuing to share as the Lord leads, by His Spirit, in the name of Jesus, to help ensure that we are on the same page about what God is saying, why He's saying it, and how to understand it for ourselves in the context of any interactions, encounters with Him and with one another. So today I'm continuing the larger series, as I just mentioned, but also an episode that I did, I believe it was yesterday, if it's by faith, it must also be by love. If it's by faith, it must also be by love. And there are many who would have you believe that just because they look a certain way, act a certain way, say certain things, go to church every Sunday, you name it, that they are quote-unquote Christians or believers. A fruit, a tree, is known by its fruit, and all of us, in God's eyes, are trees. So the question is, what kind of fruit are we bearing? Fruit has nothing to do with how we look, by the way. Fruit has everything to do with the spirit in which we operate. We are three-dimensional beings, spirit, soul, body. So the spirit is the engine that drives the soul, that illuminates the soul. So what spirit are you operating in? Then the soul is the seat of government, not for other people. The spirit is the seat of government for you. Self-control is a fruit of Holy Spirit. If you're trying to control other people, that is not the fruit of Holy Spirit. If it's by faith, it must also or must primarily be driven or only driven by love. Why? Because as I mentioned before in the other segment, if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. Faith works by love. So yes, I see your mouth moving, but what is your fruit saying? What is your spirit saying? How do people feel when they're around you or when they hear you or when they come out of being with you? Are you blessed to be a blessing, or are you blessed and using it to curse? I'm not talking about profanity. Are you using your blessing to keep other people from getting theirs? Blessed to be a blessing. That being said, we're going to hop right back into this. If it's by faith, it must also be by love. In the previous segment, I read through a number of scriptures. I tried to be as comprehensive as possible. And read through scriptures where there was an exact match, the phrase by faith in quotes. BlueLetterBible.org is what I use when I'm online. Of course, as I've said many times before, I believe that there is something to holding the Bible, interacting with it, reading it, standing up, sitting at the table when you're eating, on your knees. I used to read the Bible all the time on my knees. The actual Bible. No tech involved. And I encourage you to do that, the same thing. Find the practices. Find those practices. You know, if you're having a hard time reading the Bible, every time you eat, just read one verse. The Lord will create a hunger in you for His Word. Trust me, I've been there. So, as I go back today and continue by the leading of the Spirit, what fruit So we're going to talk about it. If it's by faith, it must also be by love. This is, consider this part two. So if you're hearing this and you see the first one, then understand that this is part two. I want to make that distinction so that you know that there is a part, a segment, or an episode preceding this one that will help round out where this started. So I am back in Blue Letter Bible today, King James Version. And so we, picking up where we left off, faith work. How does faith work? By love. But we're going to start in faith. So faith is a substance. And people say, well, this is faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. No, that's the explanation of what faith is. That's an explanation of what it, the connotation for faith is a substance, understanding that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it's providing, our faith is proof, but that doesn't say exactly what faith is. That describes faith, but what faith is in Hebrews 11:1. Believing that God is and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That is faith in action, applied, the application of faith, the definition of faith, the intention of faith, the desire of faith. God's desire is that we desire him. But he's given us faith to let us know that there is a substance, faith as a substance for the things we hope for. So everybody points to 11:6 as the definition of faith. That's not the definition of faith. Faith is what God has given as a substance to let us know, yes, he's there. What you hope for, because none of us hopes for a lot of the things we get. And I mean on the what we consider the negative side, the bad side. We don't hope for those things necessarily. We hope for love and peace and joy and healing and restoration. We hope for love. We hope to be loved unconditionally. We hope for connection, healthy connection, interaction. So he says, faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because here's what faith is. Those that come to God must believe that God is and that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's what faith is. That's what it means for me to have faith. Then he says, and I provide faith as a substance of things, the things you hope for. I provide faith as a substance of the things you hope for. Therefore, every human being has been given a measure of the substance, the things you hope for, in order that you might, we might believe that God is and the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. It all works together. So, if it's by faith, it must be by love. Why? Because God is love. I'm just scrolling here for a second. So we're going to go back to James 2:18. Yes, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith. So once again, we are making a, we're three-dimensional, spirit, soul, body. So anytime, one of the keys to us understanding or having, I don't want to say understanding because we can't comprehend God, but we can understand some things in the context of what he has said to us, how he's instructed us, how he has given himself to us. For in the practical way, understanding that the practical, the manifestation of the practical thing comes out of the supernatural. That which is seen is created by that which is not seen. That which is visible is created or had its genesis in that which is unseen. Unseen manifests as seen. Invisible manifests as visible. Spirit manifests, right? Or supernatural manifests as natural. We are spirit first. So again, in this verse specifically, and I use this one, you can read all of James, because all of James is about faith and works for the most part. There is this discourse going on, because some are saying, I have faith, and others are saying, I have works. And this is so typical human. We are saying either or, and God said it's both. You can't have one without the other. And the purpose of this discourse is to help us understand that if you have faith, you're going to have works, because faith is the substance that what? Brings forth the manifestation of the Holy Spirit fruit, which means we will be compelled in a practical way to act in faith, by faith. And if it's by faith, it must also be love. What does love do? Love is kind. Love is selfless. Love is not selfish, it's selfless. So those things that speaks to, you can't have faith and be by yourself. There have been many times in my life when, because I'm an introvert by nature, meaning my energy, it doesn't mean I don't like being around people. I love being around people. But at some point, I also recognize that I have to be alone to regroup, to reset, to re-energize. I get that about myself. So at some point, I could have, particularly when I was going through my convalescence and other situations in my life, there were times I did not, I just wanted to stay alone. And Holy Spirit would make me go do things. He said, because you can't just have faith. You can't have faith without being around the things and the people and the places that are going to test your faith, help you develop your faith. Faith was meant to be exercised practically, works. The works of faith, the works of God by faith. If it's by faith, it must also be love, which means that then ties into we are blessed to be a blessing. The blessed part has to be tied to our faith, believing that God is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We can't get blessed or claim to be blessed unless we believe that. Then it goes on to say, faith then is the substance. This is sequential. Faith then, and God, by giving every human the measure of faith, has then provided the substance that helps us not only to believe in him, the things hoped for, but also to be vessels through which he can demonstrate his love. He can demonstrate. So belief, what we believe about God, in God, what we obey of God, to love me, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. He's not trying in any way, shape, or form. He does not desire to diminish us. He desires to transform us into what he created us to be. We think we're living our best lives, and here's like, you don't even have a clue. You don't even know what that looks like because you've never seen that except in Christ. And even that was for a minute. That's why we have Holy Spirit who comes to lead us into all truth. So the Lord telling us to obey him isn't about a power trip. That's us. We do that. He's saying, I know how this works. I know what's going on. I've known you from the beginning to the end to the beginning, and everything in between. There is nothing new under the sun. I know how the story began. I know how the story ends. I know what's best for you. And in order for me to bring that to you, in order for you to gain that through me, you need to obey, because I'm giving you the answers to the test. Not only have I instructed you and told you that you're going to be tested, I've already given you the answers. God is not a man or a human that he should lie. We do that. So then instead of us, as he said, you're created in my image and likeness. We want to project what we consider to be our image and likeness onto God, and then blame God when things go wrong. No, that's not how it works, because he gave his own self and continues to pour out his spirit and to have his spirit actively living in us when we accept him, when we engage him, when we allow him to bring forth our own personal deliverance and transformation. That's why obedience is important. We don't even understand, you know, the years ago I had a car. Didn't understand a thing about finances, for real. And so I had a car, especially when it comes to cars, because, you know, we're humans. So we want to get what we can get out of people that we think don't know things. I told, and I said to you all before, I was very naive and very gullible. So I buy this car. I was glad to have a car, like many of you are. We don't look at the fine, we don't consider, we think that other people are looking out for us. I mean, because that's what we want to believe, right? That we are looking out for each other in some way. But no, in fact, a lot of industry is made to exploit us. And this isn't a commentary on industry. This is my story. So here I am, some young person in college, just out of college, trying to buy my very own car in my name, not somebody giving it to me, which I was also grateful for. But at some point, the car is less than what I owe on it. The value of the vehicle is less than what I owe on it. Now, shame on the people that allowed me to be in that situation, because those are the same people that will come for you later telling you you should have known better. Did you all help me get better? Then be quiet. Now, I know to say that now. I didn't know to say that then. If you're not helping me get better, then don't do this negative reinforcement thing. Sit down somewhere. So don't exploit me and then come talk to me about what I should have known. Y'all can keep that. That's a side note. At any rate, the terminology for having a vehicle or anything really, that the value of which is less than what you might, the debt on it or what you might owe on it, is called being upside down in it. So one of the words that's used in scripture is debt. Jesus paid our debt. He paid for our sin. He atoned for our sin. What we are more accustomed to hearing is atonement. But basically, we had a debt that we could not pay, individually and collectively. We had a debt that we could not pay. Jesus took on all of our debts so that we would not be upside down, that our value, right? So then he has to, the whole purpose of transformation for us is that he increase our value, not out of some capitalistic ideal or ideology, but because for our good, because we don't understand how upside down we are in our own existence. We make progress and we think that we've made progress. But if we're spirit first, the measure of that then is Christ. It's not anybody else. I can't determine what progress is necessarily. I mean, I know that I'm better than I used to be, and I'm believing with every moment that I'm getting better, or at least desirous of getting better in and through Christ by the power of Holy Spirit, because that is where life is. The way, the truth, the life. That wasn't a challenge. He was making a statement. If that's what you're looking for, here I am. It's a challenge, but not in the way we think. So all of these things that we talk about, we don't understand how much under we are or were. And so the transformation, our transformation, has to be about obedience. We will go to school, and many of us will cheat. That wasn't my thing. But anyway, I know some of us do. That's a manifestation of that serious, being seriously needed of healing. It manifests in different ways, so if that's your thing, the Lord is still with you, right? But we will cheat to make it better, but we won't follow instructions to make it better. I think that's, you know, when we think about it, think that's what we do. Until we are born again, until we submit, humble ourselves, until we seek the Lord's face, until we turn from our own wicked ways, we're willing to cheat to make it look good, but we're not willing to follow instructions. It's ironic, because we all do it or have done it. But once the Lord gets a hold of you, or once you agree to walk with him, he begins to correct. Whom the Father loves, he chastens, corrects course, turns. If I willingly turn from my wicked way, he's going to make sure I stay turned. He honors our choices. Therefore, if I say I repent and I keep having a struggle, he's going to find a way to help me stay turned. On the other hand, if I don't repent, not only does he honor my choice, he also makes sure I know that I'm still accountable. We're accountable either way. Just understand that our choices don't make us any less accountable. The beauty of it in Christ is that when I allow Holy Spirit to form Christ in me, spiritually speaking, so that what people get is less of me, I decrease, so that he can increase. If it's by faith, it must also be by love. God is love. Therefore, I want God living in me so that he can live through me, so that other people can experience his love, his forgiveness, right? So when the judgment comes, or the point of accountability, let's consider judgment the point of accountability. When the point of accountability comes, he looks at his son in me or through me, not me. I'm adopted into his image and likeness. That's the restoration. Because before the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was partaken of, there that existence was present. So we are restored to the original state. If it's by faith, it must also be by love. So he's saying, you don't even, okay, I'm telling you, you're upside down in it, whatever it is. If you follow me, I'm going to walk you up out of that. You, your family, generations to come. We talk about, we need to break these generations. You can't break them because you're not obedient. You don't have that kind of power. If you want it broken, then the breaking starts with you. Stop not doing it. We want to do magic. That's really what we want. Magic is not faith. Therefore, it does not operate by love. If you want magic, God can't help you. He's going to allow you to go do magic. So God has done all of this for us so that we can be adopted back into, because we gave it up through our choices. So we have to, if we want it back, we have to make choices. I want to break generational curse. Well, stop doing the thing. Ask God to help you stop doing the thing. We all have it. We all are born into sin, being seriously in need of healing. All of us. Manifestations different. That's why we need to stop calling each other out and help each other make the right choices if that's what we intend to do. We are, those of us that believe, sinners saved by grace. Not better than. And if anybody ever comes to you with that, then you know they're not operating in the right spirit. I'm giving you some pointers in case, you know, you're still working on discernment, which we all are to some degree. Some of us might be further along. Some of us might be further behind. Some of us might be right being there together. It doesn't matter. We're supposed to be helping each other with this. So we're having this in James. You see this going back and forth about faith and works. And the Lord has already told us, if it's by faith, you're going to have works. That's the whole purpose of faith, is to have works. How do you bless somebody if you don't ever do anything for them? On the other hand, works don't produce faith. Faith produces works. But works don't necessarily produce faith, nor is faith necessarily born out of works. I can do something good without doing it in love. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. There is a lot of what we would call good happening, right? Philanthropy. There are a lot of foundations. There are a lot of people doing good. And whether they're formalized organizations or not, just individuals that are just giving and sharing. If those things, they are providing an immediate or long-term need, providing for, making provision for an immediate or long-term need for other people, that's good. If it's not breaking the spiritual cycle, it's not God. It can be good works without being God, faith. It can be good works. It can be out of obligation. It can be out of, it doesn't mean it's by love. Love, faith works by love. Therefore, if it's by faith, it must also be by love. And if it's by love, it's also going to produce fruit in the person that's giving and fruit in the person that is receiving. Spiritual principles. That's why this conversation, this discourse in James is so important and so significant. And then we want to have conversations around it. This is what we do. We want to argue about this kind of stuff. And the Lord has already said, okay, y'all keep going. You're losing time. You're marking time. You don't know how much time you have here. What are you talking about this for? I've already told you. He that comes, he, those that come to me, any and every, whosoever will that comes to me, must believe that I am, I exist, I am God, and that I reward those that diligently seek me, saith the Lord. The substance of that is faith. The faith itself is the belief. Faith produces works. True faith is going to produce works. True works may not produce faith. It doesn't go in outside in like we think everything does. Oh, I can look the part. No, you can't. Don't just look good, be good. Don't just talk about it, be about it. And the challenge we have is that we have spent so much time in a performative state that we think we've accomplished something in the spirit. And we really have not. In fact, we've gone the other way. Because we've pitted ourselves against God by making our own lives and our own works idols. Idolatry and adultery trip us up every time. Even so, James 2:17, even so, if it hath not works, faith, if it has not works, is dead. Your belief hasn't produced anything. There's a chapter, it says, I can't remember exactly, that God's people may do great exploits for him. That's a faith statement. Not that we go out and try to do big things, but that God is big enough to do his thing through us when we allow that to happen. Blessed to be a blessing. Pivot out of cursing into blessing. Become who we need to be. Allow him to transform. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He never told us to do any of this. He said, I need you, however, to humble yourself, to seek my face, to turn from your own wicked ways. Stop focusing on everybody else. When you humble yourself, I will exalt you. You can fall on the rock and be broken, or the rock will fall on you and you will be crushed. Take your pick. I've told you what the situation is. I am here, not just for you, but with you. So go back and read James. If it's by faith, it must also be I love James 2 specifically. You can read all of James. You need to read the whole Bible anyway. But so understand that notion, that ideal, that concept, that principle of God, that faith. 11:1, Hebrews 11:1, Hebrews 11:6 is always going to produce the works of God. But if it's by faith, that means it's the love of God coming through the works. All right, so I'm going to go to a different place. So let's talk more about fruit. I'm going into 1 Corinthians 13. So what is love? If it's by faith, it must also be love. So what is love? 1 Corinthians 13, the excellence of love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. I don't like the terminology charity, but I understand it. But love, that's how we would say it today. Because charity these days has different meanings. And the most representative term for love in the context of God is agape. It is a holy kind of love, a love that is all-encompassing, a love that can allow people to make their own choices, a love that can allow people to do the things they need to do within reason, but that honors that and respects that and yet holds them accountable. Agape is what we can do for each other. We can hold each other accountable without diminishing and degrading and destroying one another. Agape is the ultimate form of love. It is the human connection to God that is then love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the agape process. The love I receive from God is all-encompassing. It's transformative. Therefore, in my transformation, he can use me, even though I am not anywhere near perfected. You are not either. None of us are. We will not be until we transition out of here, Lord willing, into his presence. But in the meantime, even though I'm not where I need to be, if I am holy, not H-O-L-Y, W-H-O-L-L-Y, if I am wholly given and committed and choosing God every day, literally every moment, and choosing to be led of his spirit in the name of Jesus, then even though I am still walking through my process, I can help you in yours. Not me. But because I make myself available, he can use me. He can use you, any of us. When we are choosing him every moment, he can then use us to help each other. I don't say what I say because I know everything. I say what I say because I know the parts I'm telling you. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, agape, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, those superlatives were meant there. All. I could know all of these things and have enough faith to move mountains. Right, the works piece. It can look like this, but I have not love. I'm nothing. Faith being with by itself, without the works, if it's by faith, it must also be by love. So if I don't have love, I'm nothing, which means the work is not honored anyway by God. God is love. If it's by faith, it must also be by love. And though I give, bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, living sacrifice, and have not love, it profits me or advances me or transforms me or doesn't bring me any gain. I am nothing. It doesn't do anything. Love, agape, suffers long. Long suffering, forbearance, it's forbearing. It's patient, it's kind, it envies not, It does not exalt itself. It is not puffed up. It is not, and by vaunt, the word in the King James is vaunt, V-A-U-N-T, you can go look that up, is not puffed up. It does not behave itself in an unseemly or inappropriate manner. It seeks not its own. It's selfless, not selfish. Is not easily provoked. It doesn't say it's not provoked. It says it's not easily provoked, meaning that patience is having her perfect work. It doesn't say is not provoked. It says not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. Doesn't mean there's not temptation. Doesn't mean there's not fiery darts. What do I call fiery darts? Those what I call drive-by thoughts that come out of nowhere that can catch you off guard if you're not paying attention. So it doesn't study evil. It doesn't practice evil. It doesn't study. As a person thinks, so are they. It doesn't think evil. It doesn't make that a practice. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It doesn't rejoice at someone else's downfall. It doesn't rejoice at someone else's pain. It doesn't practice that, but rejoices in the truth. It doesn't manipulate the truth, try to make it. Well, first of all, the truth cannot, let's be clear. Truth is absolute. It cannot be manipulated. But for people that don't understand that, it can be manipulated to them. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. But rejoices in the truth. Love, agape, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things in the godly context, not all things based on all the things we can think about. When he says all things, he has a specific reference or set of references that have to do with life, that have to do with deliverance, that have to do with restoration, that have to do with reviving us again, that have to do with our salvation. When he says all things, he's not talking about everything you could possibly think of. He's talking about the things that give life. He's talking about the instructions that he's given. He's talking about the things that he's done. He's talking about the giving of his son on the cross. He's talking about these things that bring us into a transformative experience and that align us with the purposes and plans of God to bless all the families of the earth, including ours. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love, agape, never fails. But where there are prophecies, they shall fail. Where they be tongues, they shall cease. Where they be knowledge, where there is knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part. In part meaning a fraction, if that, a fraction of a fraction. And we prophesy a fraction of a fraction of what we know. Since we know a fraction of a fraction, then we can only prophesy a fraction of a fraction. And any multiplication of our knowledge and or our ability to prophesy is according to the measure of the Spirit, not according to who we think we are. Who we think we are is presumption. That causes us presumption. It causes us to operate in presumption. David said, keep me from presumptuous sin, or keep me from the sin of presumption. But when that which is perfect is come, when I receive the invitation of God to accept his son in whom is life, when I accept that invitation, and he sends his spirit, the same spirit that's in his son, whereby I can then cry, and you can then cry out, Abba, Father, our Father, which art in heaven. That's when the perfect is come, and that which is only partial is done away with. 1 Corinthians 13:11. For when I was a child, I spoke as a child. Okay, go back to a few of the segments, and I've probably talked about it in several segments. When I was a child, he's talking about three dimensions, or at least two. It's got to be three. Soul is always implied. when I was a child. So it's a reference to youth, natural youth, and supernatural youth. Spiritual youth and physical youth. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Or spoke. Spake is spoke in the King James. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became an adult, in here it says man, but this is whosoever will. So regardless of how it's written, how it's written does not change. God says, my word is not subject to interpretation. What I meant to be in here is in here. And you splitting hairs over foolish stuff does not change what I meant. But when I became an adult, when I became a fully grown person, fully grown physically, I put away childish things. This is primarily, although he's using a parabolic statement, we can understand child to man or child to adult. But spiritually, when we are mature in spirit, as well as in the natural, supernatural to natural, when we are mature, period, we put away childish things. For now, we see through a glass dimly or darkly, but then face to face. So when I am in relationship or alignment with God by his Spirit who leads us into all truth, that's the standard. That's how I grow up. That's when I become more mature. Now I know in part, but then, at that time, I shall know even as I am known. Why? Because I'm not the standard. The Lord determines the standard. He is the standard. So he reveals, based on what he reveals and how I allow him to reveal himself to me, or how I receive him as he reveals himself to me. Same with you. So when I'm saying I, the I that I'm speaking about, I have encountered, but it's not limited to me. You can, if you haven't already, also have the same experiences. And now, 1 Corinthians 13:13, if it's by faith, it must also be by love. And now abides, now exists, now resides with us, now for all eternity. Hope, faith, hope, and love, agape. But the greatest of these is love, agape. If it's by faith, it must also be by love. What are the two greatest commandments? That you love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength, and you should love there, and therefore you should also love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus, what are the two greatest commandments? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength, and you should also love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody gets love. Why? Because if it's by faith, it must also be by love. Faith works by love. God is love. What is love? Go back and read 1 Corinthians 13. I just read it to you. The greatest of faith, hope, love is love. The greatest commandment is love. Love produces the work of God. Love produces the works of God, meaning even if you are, in your eyes, if you're operating by faith, and I'm talking about the kind of faith as we define it, I'm talking about the kind of faith as God defined it, faith works by love. If you're operating in the spirit of love, which can only come to us by the Spirit of God himself, be filled with the Spirit, then what you do is born out of that. Your identity then is dictating your activity. If I am walking in love, if I'm humbled myself, which I do daily, if I turn from my wicked ways, which I do daily at some point during the day, even if I don't articulate it, I set my heart on it. If I seek the face of God, which I do daily, at least once a day, why? Because the flesh is at enmity with God every single day. Turn on the television. Turn on the radio. You are being, there are, let me say it this way. The devils believe and they tremble. But here's the thing. We don't get it. So they get to have their way with us if we're not paying attention. We don't even tremble. That's how much we don't understand it. Love is driving this whole thing. Unconditional, agape. Not, oh, I love you, baby. Let's go to bed together. That, what is that? That's called sex. That's called lust. That does not mean, however, that a love that exists in faith cannot produce pleasure. But that's all by the Spirit. We have to be led into those relationships. It doesn't matter what the preference is. It's all spiritual. And what I'm saying is God has to lead each of us in the way that we should go. It's not my job to tell you the way the Lord has for you, unless he might, I mean, it, regardless of whether it's related to relationships or anything else, it's not my job to come and say, well, you're not supposed to be doing that. Now, I might be right. You might have a purple pencil, but you're supposed to have a yellow one because God wants you to have the yellow pencil because that's going to help you write better. But unless he, like, expressed, like, and generally, if he has to push me into it, right? For people that are eager to prophesy, watch that. Be careful of that. Because prophecy is not glamorous. Generally, you're going to feel like a fool. Because there's going to be nothing in the situation that's going to be speaking to what the Lord is telling you to do. And so you have to overcome your own flesh to do it. Remember, I'm speaking from the things I know, not from the things I don't know. That I know. So it's not our job to seek out sin in other people. The Lord's holding you accountable for that if that's what you're doing. It's our job to humble ourselves, fall on our foolish faces as often as we can. And even if you can't physically do that, our hearts should be bowed before the Lord at all times. Waking, standing, lying, driving, showering, dancing, partying. Lord, I'm up here in this club. I really like being here. I may not supposed to be here, but I'm here. If I'm, I need you to help me with this. If that's what we want. It's not that hard, and God is not fragile. He knows the beginning from the end. He saw us coming. That's why he sent his son to the cross. Not only that, he was the lamb slain before he even got here. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Earth is the planet, the world is the people, so before the existence of humanity. That's why we see Adam being created. We think we got game. We don't even know what the game is. And the Lord keeps trying to tell us, okay, I'm here when you get ready. But he also says, seek the Lord while he may be found, which means we may not have the time we think we have, whether that's a long life. We don't know. We make presumptions about everything. If it's by faith, it must also be by love. I don't have to know you or your story to agape you or to bless you. Why? Because whatever I'm saying, is going to get by the Spirit of God to the people he intended it to reach through me. It's not my job to figure that out. It's my job to be obedient. Why? Because I love him. It's my job to be available. Why? Because I want all the families of the earth to be blessed. It's my job to be obedient. Why? Because if there are generational curses that need to be broken in my family, whether I know them or whether I don't know them, I want those to be broken. I want unity for all of us. I want us to stop saying, well, us as a collective, not just me and mine, collective, all of us that claim to believe. I want us to stop playing with God like he doesn't know what's going on. For him, a day is as 1,000 years. We have a handful of people on the planet right now that get to live to 100 or over. A handful out of billions. So what does that tell you? But a day to him is like 1,000 years. So who are we? What are we doing? It's time to pivot. If you haven't started pivoting, with pivots, don't take that long. Go watch a basketball game. Pivot. The urgency, the immediacy of it. Springboard. Unless you're jumping, ready to go, you're not going to have much spring. If it's by faith, it must also be by love. Therefore, everything that we do in and through the name of Jesus is by love. And if it's not by love, then it means nothing to God. So you need to put a check on it. You need to put a check on yourself. You need to ask the Lord to guard your heart. And you need to guard your heart. You also need to ask him to muzzle your mouth where necessary, because stuff is going to be trying to come out that he may not want you to say. I've had to muzzle on for a few days myself. I know how to put, I've learned, let me say, I know now, but I had to learn how to put my own self in timeout. Nobody should have to check you. You should be checking yourself against him. We want to fight and argue. That's not what he put us here to do. We're wasting time. We don't have that kind of time. If you wanted to get it, if you want and have a desire, whosoever will, to get it together with the Lord and have him lead you in his way, then you better start now. Today is the day of salvation. And even if you wait a week, it'll still be today. Not this today, but next week's today. Next Thursday will be today when you get there. I agape you. I bless you. I pray for you and the entirety of your household. I ask for the Lord to make himself known to you, just like I ask him to make himself known to me, that we might all be filled with the fullness of Christ, that we become trees, fruit-bearing, good, healthy trees, so that others can eat of the fruit of God and themselves be saved, healed, delivered, restored, transformed. You shall know the tree. They shall know the trees by their fruit. What kind of fruit are you bearing? If it's by faith, it must also be love. So what do you want to perpetuate? If you want love, then become love in Christ. My name is Michelle. Thank you for joining me here today. I ask the Lord to bless that time back to you in the way that you need it. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.